I want to take a minute and welcome everyone in the Eastlake Church Network and also everyone watching online. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad to have you here. Happy New Year to everyone. I also want to take a second just to give a personal thank you to all of you who have been a part of the Cannonball Initiative. My wife and I have really enjoyed being a part of the community here and our team as well. And we have been equipped and invested into and prepared for what God has for us next. And we're moving into 2018 with great anticipation of what that is and looking forward to getting back to what God has for us. And this has been a great place of healing and also of preparation for what's next. And I just want to say to those of you who have really taken Cannonball seriously, I may never get to sit down with you or your family or come into your home, but I just want to say thank you so much for being obedient and generous and sacrificial. Because of you, we'll have a chance to reach people that you may never reach, never talk to, but we will always be an extension of your ministry. And we just, from the bottom of our hearts, from my family and our team and our future ministry to you, just thank you so much for what you've done for our lives. This was our first Christmas in San Diego, and we didn't have any real traditions, and so I called Pastor James and said, hey, I don't really know how to do Christmas here, so, you know, what do people in San Diego do for Christmas? He's like, I got you taken care of. You need to go to the Hotel Del and take your family there. That'll be great. So I had my wife. Her sister was there. She has two young kids, a 4 and a 2-year-old, and then my other sister-in-law, Brenda's other younger sister, she's in high school. She was there, too. My wife is Mexican, and so is her family. That'll be important in a second. And We get in the car, we head on over to Hotel Del, and when we get there, right around the corner, we almost get like ran off the road by like this crazy cabbie. So we're off to a great start, pull into the Hotel Del, and I pull way over to the side by the overhang, but like across, and I start letting them out because I knew it was cold, there was, you know, no parking. So I wanted my wife, we have our little 2-year-old, and they were getting out and getting the stroller ready. And as she's getting ready so they don't have to walk in the cold, this lady walks by, and I think she was I don't know what you'd call it, drunk. And she's walking by, and I think she thought that my window was up, okay? Like I wouldn't hear her. So, and she's walking by, and she looks like right at my window kind of like, but not her eyes, but her mouth and her face. And she just goes, nice parking spot. I want you to all know about me that I grew up in the Bay of San Francisco, really close to Oakland. And though I now love Jesus, there was a former part of my life that always lived in that area. And there's still that Oakland Chris that lives in there, much to my chagrin. And I'm sorry, Lord, to your shame. Every now and then he'll come out. And let me just tell y'all right now, on Christmas night, he wanted to party, okay? And so when this lady did that, I like leaned out the window, like all out the window, and was just like, ma'am, sorry, I'm dropping off my wife and my daughter here, and we're just trying to not make them walk. It's kind of cold, and I do have my flashers on. Sorry, Merry Christmas, right? Thought I got my point across. She turns around and start muttering something to me, and I just was like, two through. And so Oakland Chris came out, and I was like, ma'am, you just can keep walking. Just walk, 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 walk. I did the hand signal, literally. I did this right here. It gets worse. This other lady starts in, and she's like, oh, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, ma'am, she started it. I have a family here. Merry Christmas to everyone. Just mind your own drunken business, right? Like, I'm just like trying to move the family forward. And I remember, I mean, Pastor James was like, oh, it's going to be an amazing night full of great lights and snowmen and Christmas carolers. They'll have a Christmas tree that will warm your heart. It'll feel like you stepped into a Christmas movie. So far, that's not true. We get across the street and I walk in after finding a great parking spot. My sister-in-law is like, hey, where do I take the kids? Well, we're waiting for Brenda to kind of walk around. And I said, you know what? Go look at the Christmas tree. It's great. Now, this is where there's a little cultural phenomenon I have experienced. Maybe not you, but me. Is that there are certain aspects of culture where certain maybe cultural backgrounds have a tendency to believe in the Illuminati more than others. I don't believe in it. I don't think that Jay-Z and Beyonce are running the world. I don't. But like some people are like, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, that all changed on Christmas night, okay? Because we walked inside the Hotel Del, and my sister-in-law, she looks at me, she goes, Pastor Chris, she goes, hey, Chris, she goes,
why is the Christmas tree upside down? I'm like, man, I don't know. There's some satanic stuff going on around here. And I started looking around. I seen a few triangles. I'm like, oh, crazy. I know Jay-Z around here somewhere. And I was like, I started losing my mind. I'm like, where are we at? Pastor James, where'd you send me? What does Dell stand for? So we get out. We see these snowmen. But now I'm skeptical of the snowmen. I'm like, I see what's going on around here. My eyes have been opened, okay? So I'm losing my mind. My sister-in-law, who's a senior in high school, we decide, we're like, hey, let's go ice skating. You guys go hang out with the kids. She's like, let's go ice skating. $175 later for two sets of skates. Like, we get sat down. And see, you don't really think about how this is going to go for you until you're sitting down with the skates at the bottom of your nice shoes that you like that have your feet. And you realize, I don't know how many of you in here are, like, not feet people, but, like, I know there's some of you in here that are, like, no to the feet, okay? Like, no thanks to feet. Like, when your husband or wife tries to put their feet underneath you while you're sitting on the couch, you're like, no. Don't put your feet by me. I don't get down with feet. Okay, so feet don't bother me that bad, but this was what did start to bother me. I looked down at the bottom of these skates and I thought, whose nasty, funky, dirty, unwashed, gangrene having feet have been toe jam infested and soaked up their funk into the sidewalls of these skates? And I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this, man. I'm like, I love you, sister. I put sledge my feet into this squishiness, and I'm like, I don't even know the ooze that's getting around my feet and toes. I'm thinking, my God, I'm almost. So I get out on the ice, man. I'm on the wall because I'm not a really good ice skater, so I'm on the wall. But I see this guy. He's in blue jeans and white shirt, and he's kind of going around real fast. Like, he's, like, training for the Winter Olympics, and I'm like, man, he's impressive. And as a man, I kind of thought, like, I could do this. This don't look that hard. Let me get up out of here and try this, right? So I push up off the wall, and I'm just kind of skating around, you know, real scared. When you come to the turns, right, the turns are kind of sketchy, so I'm not really good at the turns, so I'm just kind of, like, doing the one-leg turn, you know, just kind of get it going. But then I see him. He starts doing the crossover turns, right, like 1 foot over the top, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's how it's done. I'm going to try this. So I get to the one, and I go try one crossover. I'm like, woo! And I didn't fall. It was great. Everything felt good. And I started doing it a little bit, and I was starting to get good, right? I got confident. Started feeling the flow. The wind's blowing in my hair, man. I'm cooling in the breeze. I'm looking at all the beauty of the lights, and the ocean is crashing waves over there, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm like, man, this is it right here. Merry Christmas to me, right? This is great. Oh, man, you know, I saw a dude with the white shirt and the jeans. He's going around. I'm like, man, I could do what he could do. He even fell down, and when he fell down, he stopped being the cool guy. In my mind, he now had another slot of category. Now he was categorically slotted as, you just the guy that fell down. You ain't even that cool no more. So now I'm feeling like I'm the cool guy on the ice rink. And then he came in front of me, sketched a little bit. And then all of a sudden, when I was doing one of the turns, right, I brought this foot up. And I didn't know this, but manufacturers of ice skates make the top really pointed. And they do that so you could stop on purpose. I didn't want to stop on purpose. But stop I did, man. The last sound I heard was, and I went into full-blown Superman. I was flying in the air. Now here's what you got to understand. I'm a grown man, so it's been a long time since I fell down, right? Like, we don't fall anymore. Have you ever thought about that? Like, we don't fall. We're adults. Like, kids fall. They emotionally have accepted that they're going to fall from time to time, and they just accept it. I was in denial. I'm like, I'm not falling. I'm going to be fine. This won't even hurt. I'm cool. And I'm in the air, and then I started to realize, nah, this probably ain't going to be cool, because I looked to the sides, and everyone was just like, ooh. And there was this 9-year-old girl in the corner going, you suck. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I hit the ice so hard. You ever fell down as an adult and hit the ground so hard that all the air left you, and you made that really loud sound with your life, like, ah! Right? Like I said, I slid on the ice skidded up the side of my face, and on my face was all pushed up like this, and I was just like, oh, and I was like little kid hurt, y'all, like little kid hurt, right? I wanted my mommy, right? That kind of hurt. And I was laying there in so much pain, but I couldn't move. So then everyone's skating around me, and I remembered what I thought about the guy in the blue jeans and the white shirt, and I thought, I'm that guy now. Everyone's like, look at the loser on the ground. He was so cool with his little turnovers. He ain't cool now. I finally did the military crawl over to the wall and just scraped myself up on the wall to get up on top. And I just sat there with my sad self. And I just, the thought went through my mind while I was sitting there. I hate Pastor James. This Illuminati satanic Christmas tree with these sketched out, dirty old funky skates. Man, what he got me out here doing? Merry Christmas, my... self. And what was crazy was I had anticipated this Christmas experience being so amazing, and it ended up being so different than what I had hoped for. And this doesn't just happen with me and Christmas. It happens in our lives, right? Like maybe you haven't fallen down on the ice, but something's fallen down right now in your marriage, right? Like your marriage is going through something that nobody in this room really knows what's going on, but you do, and it's difficult, and you're not really sure what to do. And some of us, it's like, man, you went to the doctor just expecting a normal checkup, but you got a report that there's something going on, and people in this room don't know. Your family hasn't even been told yet. Others of us, we're dealing with teenagers in our homes, and they're making decisions, and you're trying to parent through that. You're not sure what to do, but you know they're not making wise choices. Some of them can even affect their lives for a long time, and you know that, but they don't understand that yet. And so you're trying to figure out the best way to navigate those challenges. Others of us, it's finances that is really the noose around our lives. We're stressed. We got a new job or we got a raise, but it didn't do the job, and we're not sure what to do about that. I bet there's other of us, we have adult children who have grandkids, or we have nieces or nephews, and the adults are making choices that break your heart, yes, because you love the adults, but then it's also double heartbreaking because you love the kids. And so you see what this is and what this is, and it's hard. And it's a part of being around the holidays, right? Like maybe it's one thing when you don't see it, but you were just around family and you saw it live, like right in front of you. You're like, gosh, this is tough. And then it can happen when you're in college. You go away to school and you think, you know, you've got your plans ready, and then you don't get the grades you thought, or the professor wasn't fair in some ways, or maybe you got your heart broke, you had a new relationship, it's not going so great. And then last year, maybe for others of us, we thought that was going to be the year that we really connected to God. We put God in his place, and it was the first place, right place, and we were going to focus on our relationship, really, you know, make that a priority. And somewhere, we are not bad. We didn't want to lose sight, but we just kind of got off on that. We lost track. We kind of got knocked off our walk a little bit and just were like, man, lost focus. And you're trying to find your way back to what you know you want to be like, what you even know God wants you to be like. What do we do in these moments of life where we're like, gosh, how did I get here? This is so much worse kind of than what I anticipated it being like. I didn't know it was going to go like this. And that's what this series is about. It's a series that we want to talk about. How do we re-engage? And the tendency for us as people is to do this, is we normally try to fix in the reverse order of what God has kind of laid out for us. And we're going to talk about what he says. And that's what's great about God, is God knew we were going to go through this. So he gives us the Bible to lay out wisdom of, hey, when you find yourself in these things, here's how to get back on track. Here's where to start. The problem is often what we do is we start in the reverse order that God wants us to. We try to fix the things all on the outside, fix relationships and try to fix the finances and try to fix the things that we have on the outside. It's like, I just got to work hard. I got to fix my diet, fix the gym, fix this. And these are all great things to fix, and they need to be fixed and they need to be addressed. No doubt about it. But we start there as a community, as a society. And then others of us might, you know, feel even a little bit better or enlightened. And we start with the inside stuff. We go inward, right? Not the outward things, but we start inward. And we're like, I got to fix my emotions, my mind, my decision-making, my responses when I'm tempted or stressed or angry. I got to address that stuff because that stuff is important. And it is important. And it does have the command of how the outward flows. But we're going to learn today that God wants us not to focus and start with the outward fix or the inward change, but he says those things will be a natural byproduct if you will start with not the outward or the inward, but the upward connection to God. That if we re-engage this connection with God, that everything, when that is in its right place, then all this other stuff falls into place. And when that gets knocked out of its rightful place, then we are scattered, we are chaotic, we are frustrated, we're trying to figure out our way, and we feel lost and knocked off track. And so today we want to talk about how can we do that. Next week we're going to talk again about the inward, and in 2 weeks we'll talk about outward. But today, the foundation, the flagship of how to re-engage and get 2018 back towards where we want to be, and certainly I would say where God wants it to be, we want to learn how do we engage upward. And a great way to write this down would be in your outline, if you want to follow along in the outline and take notes. Why don't you write down the big idea for this series? And this is what it says. We can re-engage upward, inward, and outward by understanding we are loved. By understanding that we are loved. And we can do this because we have access to God, Like, we have access to God because we are loved by him. We get access to his love, his power, his wisdom, his truth, his peace, his guidance. We get all that. And that is unique when it comes to Jesus, because all other world religions say, if you want to get that kind of good stuff from like the God of whatever the religion is, then you got to go earn it. You got to go figure stuff out. You got to go do these things, take these steps, and then God will give you his love. He will open the door to you once you kind of climb the mountain of God and figure it out. And Jesus exclusively stands alone, in my opinion, my estimation of what is out there. And he doesn't say, when you get it figured out, then you can come to me. He's the reverse. He says, no. How about this? I will love you first, and I will extend an offer of my love, my hope, my relationship, all the things that come with knowing me. I will open the door to you. I'll go first. I'll lay out the table. You can come eat. You don't have to prepare it. I'll prepare it. Now, I'm not going to make you come in here, and I'm not going to make you sit down, and I'm not going to make you eat this meal. But it's there for you if you'd want to. See, all other religions are different, and they say, no, you go make it. You go get it. You go earn it. You figure it out. You've got to make your way to God. And Jesus alone says, you don't have to make your way to God. God has made his way to you if you would choose to have it. And this we see in the theme verse that I'd like you to read out loud with me. This is the theme verse for this whole series for next week. We talk about inward and 2 weeks outward. And let's read it together. It's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. I can respond with an upward connection because it's available to me. I don't have to wait to get it together or stop sinning in my bad areas or stop losing control or stop being, you know, what I don't like about myself. I don't have to wait to get it together. I can go as I am. And guess what? Instead of getting it together and then going to God, which never happens because I don't have what it takes to change me. If I did, I'd change on my own. It's like, I don't have to do that. I can say, I don't need to get it together to go to God. I go to God, and God, through this upward connection, helps me get this together. And another way of saying that, you can go ahead and fill in. It says this, we can re-engage upward because God engaged us first. We can re-engage upward because God, he's already engaged us first. He went first. And Jesus really laid this out. And I want to talk about some of the things that he said about this. Jesus kind of laid the foundation for the order of upward first, inward then, and then outward. And when he was asked, hey, what's really important? What do we got to know? Can you condense all of the teachings that the people in his day were following? The Old Testament is what we call it. They called it Law and the Prophets or the Torah. And he said, look, all these commandments are, here's the most important one. And he says this in Mark. I want to read it for you. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. When Jesus says this, he is letting us know that yes, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And yes, you need to learn how to, so you got to love yourself and love your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. So you got to learn how to do self and outward, inward, outward. You've got to do those things. But before that all happens, you've got to love God with your mind, with your heart, with your soul, with your strength. You need an upward connection to be re-engaged, reprioritized, refocused, because that's when you'll be the best you, because you get the access to all of God's truth and power. The essence of God is freely flowing into your life when you have that. And that's what God wants for you. And so he says, this is priority. If you will start not trying to go outside in, but go upward to inside to out, you will receive a strength that you can't ever get on your own. And this is so important for us, and a lot of us are probably resonating with this. And so, by the way, if you are right now thinking, man, I need to dig into this. This is big learning for me. This is kind of like a paradigm shifter for you. I want to encourage you, if you take that outline you have and turn it over, at the bottom of that is some additional reading, like additional resources. And actually, the pastors and the leaders here are going through this book that's on that list about upward, inward, and outward. And we're reading through that together. It's where we drew some of the information, even for this series, obviously. And I would encourage you to go get that book and read it and just dig deeper, you know, say, hey, I don't want to just listen to this stuff. I want to really throughout the week go through it together. And that will be some extra homework for you for the next couple weeks. I think that will really help you dive deeper into this message. So then how will it look, practically speaking, for us to engage upward? How do we re-engage upward and connect with God? Because again, let me remind you, let me just say this. This is not a dress rehearsal right now. This is not going to matter someday later. This is not going to become important one day someday. It's important today. It's not like later on, all of a sudden, now it's going to be a big deal to figure out this connection with God. Well, I've got time. I could do that later. No. It's now important. It's live. It's important. The stakes are already high. There are already people watching you, learning from you, figuring out what they think about God and life by watching you. So the best you can give to them is a connection upward with God. This is already at the highest level of importance. And that's why this is so important. And again, I want to make sure you know, this is vital and important, but it doesn't, if you don't learn this or you fall away from doing it, I do want you to remember, like, that doesn't mean, I mean, the stakes are high and it's valuable and it's important, but it doesn't mean that God's not gonna love you anymore. And I grew up in a little bit of a religious experience, and so I sometimes got the feeling that God would be mad at me every time I fell. So every turn that I made that was wrong, God's mad and God's not going to talk to me and God's closing the doors of heaven or blessing and he's looking to strike me with lightning, right? And I know some of you grew up in some kind of like fierce or really religious kind of ways too. They were overly strict and so you almost have that idea towards God, like, man, God's probably mad at me, and you know, I don't know if I fail here, he's probably not gonna want to listen to my prayers anymore. And I just want to tell you, there is no truth to that. There is nothing you can ever do to make God stop loving you or to love you less or to love you more. He loves you not based upon what you do, but based upon who he is. His character is the reason he loves you. He loves us with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love. You think you love your kids unconditionally, you've got a human version of love. God's love is the original source of love, and it's everlasting, and it's unconditional, and it's powerful, and it's always available. Not living out this upward connection will never make God love you less. But what I have learned is that it doesn't make God love me less, but it definitely helps me to stop loving God, and I love God less. I don't not love God at all. I just don't love him as much as I normally do. I don't react the same way. I'm not the same way towards my spouse or towards my daughter or towards people who are talking in my window, right? Like, it's like all of a sudden I find myself being like basically Oakland Chris comes out a lot more the less I am upward connecting. And I bet you find yourself in the same way. So here's how we can go about this. Practically speaking, write this down if you don't mind. We can re-engage upward by expressing our love to God through worship. Expressing our love to God through worship. How do we practically do that? Well, I want to kind of show you a few things about what worship is and what the Bible says about it. Worship, let's make a working definition for it just for today. A working definition might be this. Worship is anything that I give so much value to that I will move my life towards it. Worship is anything I give so much value to that without maybe, it could be consciously or unconsciously, that my life starts moving towards it. We give so much value to, if I could just find the one I'm supposed to marry, if I just make this amount of money, if I could just, and we have these little fill in the blanks that are in our mind and our souls, and they command our daily choices, and we don't even know it's what we worship, but it is what we worship, because our lives are moving at a fast pace, at a rate that is like going for it. And that's what we worship. And it doesn't mean those things are bad, they're great. But when those things are more important and those things are what we're doing, that's when things can kind of get out of control. And so Jesus, like it says, hey, upward connect, worship me. Put me in that place. And when I'm the thing you're moving your life towards, worshiping, then stuff starts to happen inward and outward. You can't make happen for yourself. And so there's a way we see this. In the New Testament, there's only two times where it expresses that God is looking for anything. Two times. One is when it says that God is looking for lost people. So he looks for lost people. He people who have lost their way, people who are disconnected and not understanding to follow God or to know God's love, and they're just out on their own thing and making choices that are hurting them. They're astray, they're lost. They're, as a result of that, they're addicted, they're bound, they have no hope of changing anything because they're at their own disposal of their own bad choices. He says, I'm looking for those people. Today, if you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, and you've got someone in your family that is so far away from living out the things you know are better for them, and you know God is such a faraway thought for them, I just want to encourage you to keep praying and keep believing and keep knowing that God looks for those people, that you're never alone, that you're not the only one looking for a change there, that God is also looking for that as well. But the second thing it says in the New Testament that God looks for is that he looks for true worshipers, which is really kind of incredible to me. When I think about this, it's an astounding thought, because I often think, I got to go find God, right? I'm going to church to find God, to connect to God. I got to get with God. God's the big one up there doing everything right. I'm the screwed up one down here doing it all wrong. And I got to find my way to God. How do I get to God? And when I get to God, God will help me and empower me and help me and strengthen me and straighten me out and get me dialed in. And if I could just get a little more of his stuff in my life, I'll be better. But usually the impetus is on how do I get to God? And what the Bible tells us is that it's the thing that he looks for as a true worshiper. So when we are authentically worshiping, and we're going to talk about real practical ways you can worship so that it's not some like lost in the clouds, like, wait, what's that mean? I'm going to give you some real practical things the Bible tells us we can do to worship. But when we are doing that, he says, well, you don't have to come find me. All you have to do is worship. If you will slow down your life enough and do some of this upward connection and re-engage through an upward connection, guess what? When you worship me and you put me first and you do that, you don't have to find God. God says, I'll come find you. I'll seek you out. I'll find you in places you didn't know I could find you. You'll be in the middle of your, you know, ride to work, and you'll sense or hear God start to like speak to your heart, or you're like, whoa, what's that? Like, I feel like I'm experiencing something I've not experienced before. Or a song will come on and you'll just be like, whoa, like what's happening? Or a conversation you'll have with three people that are random strangers, and it's the same conversation in 1 hour, and you're like, is someone following me around with a camera? Like, what's going on, right? Like, there's stuff that starts to happen. And he begins to say, look, hey, I'll look for you. I want to get involved. And when I see you begin to authentically, upwardly worship, that's what he'll do. So here is a few practical ways that we can kind of do this. And this comes from a guy named David. He is a all world famous person in the story of the Bible. He writes about worship too. He was a king, and he also was a poet, and he was a psalmist. And he writes about worship. And this is, you know, this is really incredible stuff. In Psalms 96, he writes a few things, and I want to read them together with you. This is what he says. Verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. So he says, hey, all the earth, not just singers, not just musicians, not just people who like to hear their voice. No, he says, there's something about singing I want all of you to know is important, because your soul is connected to what you're singing. And I want you to hear that and learn that. And I want you to do that. Then verse 2, he says, sing to the Lord, praise his name. He's like, look, I know you're going to sing songs about stuff that's just got to do with life and fun and struggle and all that. And that's fine. Do that. I don't care that you like some of that music, but don't forget that above that, sing and praise his name too. You can praise the name of all your sports teams and all the things that you like, but make sure that you are making a place for singing songs. That's a part of what David describes as worship. Then verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For me as a dad, when I read that, I think I want my daughter to know about the marvelous deeds of God. I want my wife to be able to speak. I want to ask them questions. Hey, where did you see God today? Or did God, like, did you see someone act in a way that reminded you of God's goodness? Or did you do something today that tried to show the goodness of God to someone else? Because when we do that, that's showing the marvelous deeds of God. And then we talk about that and share those things. And so we're sitting there listening. Wow, that's really good stuff that reflects who God is. And this one's my favorite, verse 4. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Most worthy. Man, when I read most worthy, it really is a healthy challenge for me. Because I love to give excitement, and I move my life towards things that I value, and I give them time and energy because I think they're so important. But I don't want to just do that for those things. The other day I was watching the Warriors and I was replaying their game, and Steph Curry comes up with 3 seconds left, raises up and hits a three to win the game. My daughter's playing there in the corner, and I stand up off the couch and I'm like, whoa, yeah! And my daughter, I've trained her well, because she turns around, looks at the TV and goes, go, Warriors, go. And I'm like, that's right, baby, get here, right here. And we start jumping up and down. I'm like, woohoo! And we're having this great daddy-daughter moment. We're sharing life. We're excited about things that inspire us and working hard at your craft to become great enough to do great things like we're watching these athletes do. And I want her to learn about that. I want her to learn about having passion and being excited about the things that may give our hearts joy. I want her to love art and music and movies that make you want to do something and love people better. I want her to love sports and to know that it can give you the highs and the lows and it teaches you about character. But I thought about it after. I thought, Lord, I don't want to just do that. I want to make sure that when she sees me in life, that she doesn't just see me stand up and cheer for sports, but that she sees that I think those things are important, but I also think you're important and you're even more important, that your name is most worthy, that when she ever sees me in church as she gets a little older, that it won't be weird for her to see dad saying, hey, I have an upward relationship because if this is right, this helps the inward and dad's outward is so much better, which affects you, that I want her to say, wow, it must be really important to have this connection as she grows up, that it won't be weird for her to see dad not just ascribing value and fun to life and sports and music and art and friends and relationships and good food, but to also make sure that she sees me doing that upward towards God. So here's a couple practical ways that you can do that worship-wise. You can fill these in your outline. The first one is, how do we worship? With our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our time, talent, and treasure. That means that you ascribe so much value to God that you'll share your time with God and with the things of God or to do the things of God or to help out. And also your talent, you give your talent back to God and say, Lord, this is a talent, but I'm going to use it to be an encouragement to others or to be a blessing to others. Or in the church, I'm going to give my talent back and help the church do things that will really encourage and bless people. And your treasure, I shared earlier, there's those of you that you've shared your personal treasure. You go to work, you earn your money, and you give a part of that to this church. And then you give even more to the kingdom. And you're like, I want to make sure that we are doing things that can't even say, they can't give it back to me, that it goes into places I can't go. And that's me and my wife and our team. We're going to go do ministry on your behalf because you ascribed value and worshiped with your treasure. You also can do it with your words and songs. You can fill that in. I worship with my words and with my songs. And I know you may not sing and that may not be your jam. And you're like, look, I the best singing I do is probably best for just me and by myself. And that's fine, but it's important that we do learn, hey, that there is something about singing the words, taking a step of boldness and courage and say, okay, look, I'm trying to do this upward thing. And if you're telling me that a part of what the Bible says engages my soul in upward connection to God is learning how to talk and sing, I'm willing to kind of try that. And that's something that we see from that. The other one would be with our actions, like how we respond in moments, how we apologize when we don't respond in moments. These actions begin to show people that we're worshiping God. These are practical ways to worship, so we don't reduce worship down to just singing. Singing's a part of it, but it's not the only way. And lastly, but certainly not least, with our reverence and our awe. Write that down. Our reverence and awe. I love this one, especially because it kind of says to me like, hey, every now and then slow down, pause, and just look out the window of life. Take it in. Don't be so busy going to the next thing that you got to go, you got to go, you got to go, that you can't slow down long enough and just say, wow, look how good God is being right now. Or look how this is a special moment for our family. Or let me just, even in this service, let me just take in the words of that song. We're going to have an opportunity to do that in a minute. Just to look at that one phrase and say, I really need to focus it. I want to reverence that part of God's character. I want to be in awe of God's majesty or his greatness in that space. And we just slow down and kind of look out of this window and say, I just want to worship you right now. I don't want to be so busy going from this to that, to this to that, to pick up this thing, to drop off that thing, to pick up the kids, to go do that, that I never can slow down and just say, God, let me just be in awe of how much you love me and have been great to me. And in this moment, just slow down and take it all. And when we do this, these are the things that help the upward connect. And then we have a byproduct. And my hope for you would be this, that as today you do this and throughout this year that you make this your focus and your priority, that as you connect and engage upward, that the byproduct will be that the inward change that God does in you and the outward flow of that will be unlike anything that you have experienced in your life up until now. And as Pastor James comes up, let me give you the bottom line. Go ahead and fill this in. When we re-engage upward, we are building our lives on the firm foundation of God's love.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. I want you to stay engaged with me in this moment because we're going to practice what he just taught us. This upward correlation in our life with God. And as we start 2018, here's a question I want you to consider. What would life look like for you this year if you took all of who you are and you worshiped God with it? I mean, what could be different in your marriage, in a relationship with a child, in a relationship with a friend? What could be different on your high school campus this year? What could be different this next semester in the dorm room if you say, God, with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength, all of my soul, I want to put you first. I want to put you at the center. And so we want to give you an opportunity right here in this moment as we start 2018 to do that. And we're going to share a song with you. This song is called Build My Life. And this is a song that I have had on repeat in my office, in my car, when I'm, you know, out on a walk or working out with headphones in. I have been playing this song. And it talks about saying, God, I want my life to be centered on your love. And I want all of who I am to worship you. Because if we get that right as we start this year, what God will do in us and then ultimately through us will be right. And that's what we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay seated for the first part of this song. And maybe for you in this moment, you would make some spiritual decisions about the way that you're living and say, man, I'm going to, this year, right now in this moment, I am going to put Christ in the center of all things in my life. In my business, in my relationships, in all things. And see how that doesn't change. See if that doesn't change things for you. And then about halfway through the song, we're going to be invited to stand and we are going to practice this idea of reverence and awe and saying, God, we worship you. It's all about you. So let me pray for us. Jesus, I know that you're here. I know that your love for us is great and your plans for us are good. And so God, in this moment, would you help us make some spiritual decisions in our heart, in our life, to put you in the center of all things. God, that this upward correlation, that as we start this new year, that we would make sure that we are living for you and we are living through you. And so God, we love you. I pray that you would help each one of us make some spiritual decisions in this moment that would change the rest of the year for the positive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise we could ever bring. Worthy. every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Let's stand together, and we're going to make this song our prayer today, that we will build our lives on the rock of our salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus. So let's sing this out together with one voice. One more time. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm.